Turn this evening, if you would, briefly. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. As a general rule, this is one of those Christmas passages, at least we designate it as a Christmas passage. And there's hardly ever a Christmas that ever goes by, but what if you are attending a church, you'll hear a reference or a message from Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. And this evening, I'm using the thought that's found actually in that verse. And the thought is simply this, the wonder of Christmas. The wonder of Christmas. I don't know if y'all noticed it or not, but I've been preaching a lot of messages on Christmas lately. Y'all, have y'all noticed that? And I've been writing a whole lot on it. I'm just like everyone else. I love this time of the year. And you just can never over-exhaust the glorious theme of Christ and His virgin birth. And I just love to get into this every year about this time. Usually I start out kind of early, and we have several messages. I'll have another one Sunday. So here we go again. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called." Now I want you to note something. For many years I would read this passage of Scripture and didn't see the comma. I did that a long time before I finally caught the comma in the verse. You'll notice that it's used several times. His name shall be called Wonderful, comma. Which would lead us this evening to say and to assume that he's called Wonderful. Not necessarily wonderful used like an adjective, but kind of like a noun in a sense. His name shall be called Wonderful. Then notice this, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This verse is just full of nuggets. And tonight, what I want to do is take that one part of the verse where it says His name shall be called Wonderful and use that as the content of my brief message tonight, which is namely the wonder of Christmas. That's where we get it from, but let's pray first. Father, thank you this evening for the songs that we just heard. Now, Heavenly Father, for the reading of your precious word. And now, Lord, tonight I would pray that you'd give us direction, understanding, great appreciation. May our hearts be thrilled a little bit more this evening as we consider what the prophet Isaiah says, that his name shall be called Wonderful. So, Father, help us to understand that the one who is wonderful is the one who is a wonder of Christmas. So may we understand that this evening. Bless us now in this brief time together. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is a time of the year that children are really, really excited, aren't they? Kids waiting, and, you know, we have an overgrown one that just said amen to, overgrown kid over here in the service tonight. We appreciate you being here, Brother Jim, and representing the family of children. But anyway, okay, kids are getting ready for the big day. And we can say all we want to, we can preach against him all we want to, and we can just rip and snort and talk about how Santa Claus is such an evil and all that. And back in my younger days, I probably brought a few messages along that line, but it is what it is. I don't know if any fundamentalist preachers ever run Santa Claus out of town yet, do you all? Because we've got enough sense tonight to know that it's not about Santa, it's about Jesus anyway. And so, you know, we understand that. But now, you all probably already know this. When it comes to the matter of Santa Claus and When it comes to the matter of the reindeers and the sleigh, there might be something that maybe you by chance don't understand. And that's why a little bit of education along this line might perhaps even help. Did you know that female reindeers have horns? And did you know that male reindeers shed their horns by the end of December? Which would lead me to say that it's the female reindeers that are leading Santa's sleigh, which accounts for him always being able to find his way so well. It's the female reindeer. Now, did y'all know that? Now, by now, most people have their shopping pretty well done. There's a few stragglers, but most people are putting the final touches on shopping. I heard about this man that was arrested, was in court, standing for the judge. And the judge asked him, why was he in court? The man said, for Christmas shopping too early. And the judge said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, I was shopping before the doors opened. But you know, the key point, the main point, is to do what we're already doing as a church, especially you people that are here tonight. You fully have it together. We understand that it's all because of Jesus Christ, His virgin birth, His coming to this earth, assuming humanity, stepping out of eternity into time, coming down to planet earth, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Christmas is about the Word becoming flesh. The Word is Christ. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was nothing made that was made. And that's all about Jesus Christ. Little girl one time was working on a puzzle. She kept trying to put the pieces in place. Actually, what it was a puzzle of the United States. She's trying to fit the pieces in place. So she turned the map. Actually, it was a map she was looking at, not necessarily a puzzle as we think of a puzzle, but she was trying to arrange the map that she had before her, putting it in place. And she couldn't do it. So she turned it over, and there was a picture of George Washington on the back of it. So she put together the picture of George Washington and automatically had put the map together. And there's a lesson to learn from that. I think when we stay focused on Jesus Christ, it all comes together. When we stay focused on Him, then we will have the very best Christmas possible, regardless of all of the crazy things that seems to show up during this pressurized time of the year. We still will have, we'll still max out in having the best Christmas when we concentrate on Him. Now, concentrating on Christ will mean that Christmas will remain wonderful. The wonder of Christmas is found in the one whose name is wonderful. It is just that simple. None of us can deny that Christmas is somewhat of a magical time of the year. And yes, there's a little bit of childishness in all of us. Most of us cannot help but remember the days of yore when we were children, when we were at home, when the family was together, and the excitement that went on around Christmas time when you know, the great moment came and parents permitted us to ravage through the presents under the Christmas tree. I've told you all this before. I don't mind repeating it because, you know, if anything helps get the point across, then a little repetition doesn't hurt. We used to always celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve night. It seemed like there was a magical time. I don't know if it's 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock or whatever, but usually My parents would send all of us off into a room somewhere, and then they would do their thing, you know. Then we'd come out, and then we would open the gifts and so forth on Christmas Eve. Now, I realize that that's against the tradition of most of you tonight, and in fact, you may even say that's even being blasphemous to have Christmas on Christmas Eve night. And then by Christmas morning, usually, I'm speaking for myself, normally what I had received, I'd already broken it. I mean, I'd be out at nighttime, I mean literally nighttime, shooting BB guns, cap pistols, and my brother would be in the process of, we just knew that my brother's going to be a heart surgeon. He used to operate on every doll that my sisters received. He'd go in the doll, he'd take out that crier. We knew that he had a medical path ahead of him. But so he'd have the dolls messed up and have my sisters crying. I mean, we had quite an eventful night on Christmas Eve night. Most of you, okay, with a show of hands, how many of you do your Christmas thing on Christmas Eve night? Anybody in here? Okay, we got one other weirdo like me. Okay. But anyway, there is an excitement about this time of the year. It seems like, as a general rule, there's a difference in people's attitudes. Unless you were like me today, riding on Wendover, the attitude wasn't too good over there today, the traffic, bumper to bumper traffic, people blowing horns and all. But at least around this time of the year, there is a degree of kindness and people smiling and saying Merry Christmas and ringing the bells at Walmart and, you know, all of the good things that go on this time of the year. So it kind of puts things on hold a little bit. It really does. And we don't like Scrooges unless we are one. And sometimes we become a Scrooge, so we're glad to have some fellow Scrooges around. I heard of an atheist one time that got to complaining to a friend. He said, you Christians have all kinds of special holidays. He said, you have Christmas, you have Easter. And then he said, Jews celebrate their national holidays as well, like the Passover, like Yom Kippur. But he said, and he got to complain, he said, but the atheists have no holidays. And the Christian said, have you ever considered April 1st? Now, I go back to what this text here says. The wonder of Christmas is found in the one whose name is wonderful. And I want to stay with that. I want to stay with that. Now, we may miss tonight the childhood days. We might miss the time that our family was all intact and all together. But we cannot lose the essential aspect of Christmas, for it's about the birth of Christ. We can lose a lot of things. We can pine over memories. We can remember our childhood days, and sometimes there may be a little bit of grief, a little bit of tears around this time of the year, but thank God we'll never lose the initial aspect of Christmas. Because the one who was born died. The one who died arose. The one who arose ascended. And so tonight we serve and worship a living Savior. We're not gathered tonight around the manger. If anything, we're celebrating the empty tomb. Now, there had to be the manger. He had to be virgin born in order to be the substitute for our sin. He had to assume humanity. But there had to be the incarnation in terms of the fact that God-man, very God, very man. So you had to have the virgin birth. But then, you had to have the vicarious death. Then you had to have the victorious resurrection. Then you had to have his ascension back to heaven. Then you had to have his intercessory ministry as priest in glory. And we will one day be having his return. So it's all going to fit together. The good thing about prophecy, it says that God meant what he said. And if God meant what he said concerning his son's coming, then God means what he says in terms of his son's coming again. So Christmas is a celebration whereby we don't simply look back at the manger, but praise God, we rejoice in Calvary, the empty tomb, His ascension, and the fact He's coming again. Christmas is a time to celebrate not simply what Jesus did, but what He's doing right now and what He will do. The wonder of Christmas. I would mention first of all this evening, I think of the wonder in His name. The wonder in His name. His name shall be called Wonderful. The wonder in His name. Now names, by the way, oftentimes relate to the character of a person's life. For example, you had Alexander the Great. There was a William the Conqueror. There was a John the Baptist. So names, many times, when used in Scripture, relate to the character of an individual's life. Now let's take the name Jesus. The name Jesus means Jehovah saves. Now that's a good one too, isn't it? Jesus saves. Salvation is only through Him. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. So His name is a saving name. No wonder He shall be called Wonderful. He's got the only name that's a saving name. That makes Him really wonderful, doesn't it? There's a wonder in His name. There's also wisdom in His name. Because the Bible says His name shall be called Wonderful. Notice secondly, Counselor. That lets us know there's wisdom in His name. Counselor. He's the best counselor ever. He guides in the right way. He gives the best advice. He really is the best person to go to. Counselor. He'll give you the best advice and He'll not charge you a thing for it. And I'll tell you, He knows more about us than we know about ourselves. His name's a name of wisdom. He knows about us because He created us. The Creator became man. The Creator is Counselor. If more people would depend on His counsel and less on the counsel of men, they'd be a lot better off. I appreciate good people that know how to counsel, and so do you. We're glad that, you know, there are good psychologists, and, you know, good people in the area of counseling, but I've kind of lived long enough and pastored long enough to observe that one of the reasons why many church people get in the shape they're in is they don't depend on His counsel enough. They don't depend on Him enough. If you check them out, they're not reading His Word like they should. They're not trusting Him like they should. And so He is not only wonderful, but He's Counselor. He's Counselor. There's a wonder in His name. His name is a name of wisdom. His name is a name, the wonder of the wealth in His name. He's Mighty God. That's what it says. The wealth in His name, Mighty God. He has been given all power in heaven and earth. Matthew 28:18. Nothing is too hard for Him. There is wonder, wisdom, wealth, and worship in His name. Because it says everlasting Father. When I think of His name, I think of wonder. I think of wisdom. I think of wealth. And I also think of the fact of worship. Everlasting Father. His name, what a name. So secondly, let me mention this evening, I think of the wonder of His name. Secondly, the wonder of His birth. And that's really what we're honing in on right now. The wonder of His birth. Now, there is no way whatsoever that I can say anything else that you haven't already heard. As far as this crowd here tonight, I mean, my goodness, the articles, the sermons, how can we say anything that you don't already know about the birth of Christ? You already know it. But the good thing about the Bible, about truth, is the fact that when you hear it over and over and over again, the Holy Spirit still stirs it up and makes it fresh again. It's still good again. So let me tell you something that I've already in the past, I'm sure, said by now. When we think of His birth, the wonder of His birth, He was an earthly child of a heavenly Father. He is a heavenly child of an earthly mother. Now, no wonder the Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. So the mystery of godliness. Think about that. Earthly child with a heavenly father and a heavenly child with an earthly mother. My, what a thought. Mary held God in her hands. Mary held deity, the very one who holds the world in His hands, she held in her human hands. Great is the mystery of godliness. Now, what's so wonderful about His birth? Well, biblically, what about all those prophecies? Do you know that when Christ was born, 300 prophecies were fulfilled? At least 300. So the prophecies were fulfilled. The Ancient of Days became an infant. My, what a thought. The Ancient of Days became an infant. Great is a mystery of godliness. I think of the wonder of His birth. Secondly, I think of the wonder of His life, don't you? His life. I mean, no one ever matched His life. No person that ever lived could ever begin to match the life He lived. The wonder of His life. Totally unique. One of a kind. No duplication. Because we're talking about the life of the God-man. He wrote no books, but yet libraries have been written about Him. He founded no college, but yet no man ever spake like He spake. He founded no army, but yet He's still the commander on high. The wonder of His life. Then, what about this? The wonder of His death. You know, nobody has ever been born like He was born. And no one has ever died like He died. I mean, there couldn't have been any duplication. No one has ever been virgin born. And no one has ever died a vicarious death. The wonder of His life. The wonder of His death. He was murdered outside the city gates. And when He was crucified, several things happened. Do you know that when Jesus died, nature revolted? The sun didn't shine. The earthquake occurred and woke up the dead. And people literally walked about. I believe they died again. But when He died, nature revolted. Sun hit its face. The veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. The wonder of His death. When He died a substitutionary death. He came to die. He didn't come to be adored as a babe in a manger. And yes, we rightly do adore Him, but that wasn't the sole reason He came. He didn't come to set the stage for a nativity scene in and of itself. He came on a mission. He came to die. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He came on a mission. The wonder of His death. When Jesus died, our sins were upon Him. He died in our stead. He took our place. Oh, yes, this is duplication here. Yes, you've heard this thousands of times. But I can't get over it. I can't get over it. Every time Christmas time rolls around, it reminds me again to praise God for my salvation, because He came to die for Chuck Peters as well as you. That's why Christmas is special to me, because that little babe had me in mind when he was born. The wonder of his birth, the wonder of his name, the wonder of his death, and then the wonder of his resurrection. Of his resurrection. Pilate gave orders to seal the tomb. Pilate did. They rolled a big stone in the way of that tomb, but guess what? The Rock of Ages came out of it. That's what I'm talking about tonight. The wonder of his resurrection. No one has ever been resurrected except him. He's the first fruits. Then afterwards, they that are his at his coming. Oh, the wonder of Christmas. The wonder is in the name of the one who's wonderful. Then let me say this, the wonder of his priesthood. His priesthood. Right now, he's living. Right now, he is functioning. Right now, he is ministering. Right now, he is interceding. Right now, he is in heaven. You know, my mind sometimes cannot grasp this, how right now, in the third heaven, sits one who has a human body, like you and myself. Glorified, yes, but a human body. Right now in heaven, there is one in a human body. He ascended with a human body. He did. I can't imagine. Right now, God is in heaven in the person of His Son with a human body. That's why I have a sneaky suspicion that when it comes to the galaxies out there, and when it comes to all the planets out there, and when it comes to outer space out there, I have a sneaky suspicion tonight that God centered His attention on one little speck in the universe named planet Earth, and came to planet Earth. I mean, you know, wouldn't the government save a lot of money if they would stay home and quit spending billions of dollars running around through outer space trying to find the origin of the universe? Just read the Bible and save your money. That's all they would have to do. He came down to planet Earth. I find no Bible indication that He came down to Mars, or He came down to Neptune, or He came down to Pluto, or He came down to Venus, and all the planets in our little solar system. And by the way, it's a little solar system. It's just one out of billions. Only God's all I can say. The vast universe is out there. You know, you all look better to me fuzzy than when my eyes are right. I'm glad I had that contract surgery. You all look better. I'm getting there. And all the wonder of it all, the wonder of His power to save. I'm going to close with this thought. I've used this illustration many times, but it's a good, I'll keep on using it. This little old girl on this train rolling down the track, passengers on board noticed this one little child. She didn't say much. She just kept repeating one word over and over and over and over. The word was wonderful. She kept saying, wonderful, 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 wonderful. So finally, one of the passengers wanted to find out what she was meaning by that. What was she talking about? So they went to her and they said, honey, would you tell me why you sit there and all you say is wonderful? Then she told her story. She said, up until about a week ago, I've been a blind girl. She said, I was sent to a famed doctor who restored my vision. And this is the first time that I have ever been on a train that I can remember. And the first time that I've been able to see what I'm now able to see. And so she just sit there and kept repeating, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. My friend, tonight you and I have every right and every reason to constantly be saying wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We don't deserve one fraction of what God did for us. But I'll tell you, it was all wrapped up in the reason why He came. And that's what it's all about tonight. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank You this evening for Your word, for Your goodness, for Your blessings. Thank You for the one whose name is wonderful, who makes Christmas wonderful because of the one who bears that name. Now, Father, bless, we pray, our ending time together. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.